Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, May 25th. Today, polls strongly indicate that much of the Republican electorate still doubts the results of the 2020 presidential election. But do they care enough about the issue to pick a candidate based on where they stand? Before we begin, a quick message from our sponsors, the Grand Junction Economic Partnership. The Grand Junction Economic Partnership is your one-stop resource to expand your business on the Western Slope. They offer free site selection and relocation services to you and your employees when moving to Grand Junction, Fruta, Palisade, and surrounding communities in Mesa County. Visit gjep.org to get started. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1894, tension among mine workers, owners, and law enforcement came to a head when shots rang out near Victor, a stronghold for striking laborers. The crisis represented Colorado's first, but far from last, labor war. As the silver industry collapsed during the Panic of 1893, gold mining in the shadow of Pike's Peak offered a ray of economic hope. But early the next year, members of the Western Federation of Miners protested new policies that required miners to work longer shifts without a pay increase. Protests fell on deaf ears, and the Western Federation called for a strike in early February. In mid-March, mine owners imported workers to restart production, and strikers fought back. They occupied Victor and turned it into a union camp. In response, Bowers created a volunteer army of 1,200 men paid by the mine owners to restore control. As Bowers' forces were preparing for their assault, a party of 300 miners attacked them. One man on each side died in the battle, and both groups took prisoners, which they exchanged the following day. Governor Waite headed for the Cripple Creek District 2 days later. He disbanded Bowers' extra-legal forces and called in the Colorado National Guard as peacekeepers, although skirmishes continued into early June. The governor negotiated a settlement that restored the status quo, one of the few episodes of labor conflict in Colorado history where the workers actually won. Next, our feature story. In virtually every major Republican primary race in Colorado this year, voters will have a choice between a candidate or candidates who baselessly believe the outcome of the last presidential election was fraudulent and those who don't. Polls conducted in recent months strongly indicate that a large portion of the Republican electorate doubts the results of the 2020 presidential election. But do they care enough about the issue to pick a candidate based on where they stand?
Hey, Sandra, thanks for joining me today.
It's good to be here, Jesse. Thanks.
So you and I have been working really hard to track all of these claims within the Colorado Republican Party, these baseless claims about 2020 election fraud. I know that you have been tracking Tina Peters. I've been trying to track some of the 2022 candidates. Can you give us kind of an overview of where we're at heading into the June 28th primary?
My sense of this, Jesse, is that there are a lot of people who are true believers that the 2020 election was stolen from President Donald Trump, of which there's no proof. One of the interesting things is that most of these people live in places that Trump actually won. Legitimately. But the feeling is really strong with these people. But my sense is that they are in the minority. We're going to find out on June 28th. But they're very, very committed and kind of loud.
Right. And you and I have really seen this play out. You know, back in April at the Colorado Republican State Assembly, the 3,500 or so delegates were really fired up about this issue, cheering very loudly, you know, when people would get on stage and talk about these unfounded claims. There were even claims about the voting process at the state assembly itself. And then the candidates who delegates put forth to the primary, you know, by and large, were folks who have rejected the outcome of the 2020 election. So it's been difficult to know whether, you know, it's just these 3,000 people or if it's broader broader Republican electorate. And I know you and I have looked a little bit of polling on this. Can you talk about what we found?
Polls indicate that a lot of Republicans actually do believe that something was wrong with the 2020 election. Democrats do not. I don't think unaffiliated voters do either. You know, one of the telling things for me at that convention, I was there Friday when they were doing these congressional district assemblies, and there were about 400 people for each of the CD4, which is Ken Buck in the Eastern Plains, and CD7, which is an open district now that's Jeffco and a lot of mountain counties just south and west of there. But for CD3, Representative Lauren Boebert's district, those people had the furthest to travel, and there were 600 of them, and they were very fired up. She had an opponent, and when that opponent said she didn't vote for Trump, people became just totally outraged and were shouting. And, you know, my question for you would be, one of the things about that caucus assembly process is it sets the stage for who's going to be voting on things like the party chairman next spring and who is controlling precincts and county level parties. And I'm just curious about what you think. Is this going to have a lasting impact on the Republican Party here?
Well, I think that'll be kind of answered on June 28th, right? We know from polling, it's a little outdated, that was done in Colorado, that a majority of Republican voters don't think that Joe Biden's win in 2020 was legitimate. That's not the case, as you mentioned, for Democrats and unaffiliated voters, but there's a difference between people who have that belief and people who feel so strongly about it that they're only willing to back candidates who side with them. And so, you know, I talked to a Republican pollster recently who said the top issues right now for voters include things like, you know, cost of living, housing, you know, education, kind of bread and butter issues, not this thing that's kind of grabbing all the headlines. And it'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, which candidates folks back. I talked to some voters who said, you know, we think that this is an important issue. The election integrity stuff is important, but it's not our number one issue. And the candidates that they actually liked were folks who don't support it. And the story that I wrote today that is based off reporting you and I have done for a long time is essentially that in every single race, you know, voters, Republican primary voters are going to have a choice between a candidate who rejects the 2020 election's outcome and those who, you know, think it was legitimate. So it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, answer this question about like how deep this issue runs and how motivational it is for Republican primary voters.
You know, one of the things about the way these candidates are nominated through the caucus and assembly process, it's super time consuming. You've got to show up at the caucus, usually on an evening or a Saturday morning, and spend a few hours there. Then you've got to go to the county assembly. You've got to go to the congressional district assembly. Then you've got to spend an entire beautiful Saturday indoors at an arena someplace. And not a lot of people want to do that. Like the Arapahoe County chairwoman, when I talked with her at that event in April, she was like, I have 200 people who could have been here, but they're just not willing to spend this time. And so it's a real, real minority of the party that shows up for these things. There are a lot more people who will be voting, you know, like a million who will be voting in this primary June 28th. And they're not only registered Republicans. A lot of them will be unaffiliated voters because that's right. 45% of the electorate in this state, and they can choose. And there's not much going on the Democratic side of the primary ballot.
Yeah, now that I think about it, pretty much every candidate who was questioned or outright denied the results of the 2020 election did make the ballot through the caucus and assembly process, while those who think it was legitimate are the folks who went through the petition process, which is, you know, gathering signatures. It's expensive, but it's a surefire way to make the ballot if you have the right people who are working on it with you. Well, I know you and I are going to be following this closely as we approach the June 28th primary. Thanks so much for joining me, Fish, and I look forward to keep working with you.
Thanks, Jesse.
To read more, go to coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Analysts say government-assisted growth is helping Colorado keep pace with electric vehicle sales that rank among the top states in the nation. Publicly financed chargers in high-traffic locations have been a success, they say, with the state's interstate-focused network regularly adding completed stations. Now the challenge is to make the charging system equitable by getting more everyday home chargers installed at relatively stubborn locations like thousands of small apartment complexes, work sites where cars are parked all day, and in rural towns with long distances between chargers. In anticipation of the Denver superintendent's first evaluation in October, the school board has approved the criteria for evaluating his first year on the job, Chalkbeat Colorado reports. The metrics are related to the retention of educators of color, the adoption of social and emotional learning curriculum, and the rate of out-of-school suspensions. The NHL said Monday that St. Louis police are investigating threats made toward Colorado Avalanche forward Nazem Kadri, who has been the subject of racist social media posts following his collision that knocked Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington out for the rest of the team's playoff series. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.